shop. We have a waiting room there, and we had some folk talking. And a pastor friend of mine from years ago was talking to my son, and they were talking about justice and mercy. And he said, the pastor friend said, you know, in order for God to be merciful, he cannot be 100% just. And I looked at him and said, the Bible says that he is a just God and a Savior. And if you learn what that means, you learn what the gospel actually is. He is a just God and a Savior. There at the end of Matthew 18, verse 34, that person was to pay all that was due. Look at another couple passages with me. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. The master had thrown that man into debtor's prison until he would pay all that was due. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 25, our Lord says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. That's the title of my message. The uttermost farthing. But Luke said it a little bit differently. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And this is how Luke records it. In Luke chapter 12, and go down to verse 58. The Lord said, when thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell you, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Pay all that you're due. Pay to the uttermost farthing. Pay to the very last mite. But he's in debtor's prison. What is debtor's prison? Well, we don't know much about these in these days, because we can go to the bank and borrow money and pay it off, or we can take bankruptcy and not have to pay at all by law in our United States. But years ago, even in the founding of our country, they had a debtor's prison. And when you went to debtor's prison, you stayed there until you could pay what you owed. But you didn't earn anything in debtor's prison. So actually, debtor's prison was a death sentence. Yeah. You'd stay there till you died. No doubt, as we read about these wicked, unforgiving servants who had no pity on the other servants who owed them so little, no doubt they deserved that debtor's prison. But I'm going to tell you this morning that I deserve it myself. I deserve to be in prison. I cannot change. I am a debtor. That's who I am. And that debt I cannot pay. There is no way to pay that debt that I owe. And here we're talking about things of God. I'm indebted to Him. I owe to Him. I've broken His law. I can't escape. There's no way out. No way to pay. And as Job said in Job 14, no one can one bring a clean thing out of an unclean. I know, that's who I am, an unclean thing. Jeremiah said it this way, can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin or a leopard his spots? No, I can't do that. There is absolutely no way that I can change about who I am before a holy God. I am a sinner. I am a debtor. There's a generation that's pure in their own eyes, but they're not washed from their filthiness. There's a lot of people who think that, hey, I'm okay, everything's fine. I'm just as good as anyone down there at that church. But they're not washed from their filthiness. We have all been ruined by the fall. Paul said it this way, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I'm a sinner by nature, and I'm a sinner by choice. That's who I am. And I can't do anything about that. I can turn over all the new leaves I want to. It'll make no difference. I could be like Adam and Eve, and I can sew those fig leaves together. You know, that took a little time. You ever think about that? That took a little time to sew those fig leaves together to hide their nakedness. God allowed them that time. Because when He found them hiding in the bushes, and He came and said, Adam, where are you? Do you think God didn't know where he was? God knew exactly where he was. I'm here hiding in the bushes. I'm naked. Who told you he was naked? Have you eaten of the tree? Well, it's that woman you made for me. She's the problem. She gave it to me and I ate. Paul said it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Eve was deceived. Adam was deliberate. Adam raised his fist to God and said, I will eat. No matter what reasons he may have had, he said, I will eat of the tree. My wife has eaten. She's given to me. I will eat. And he rebelled against God. And as a result, sin came into the world and then death by sin. Because God said, if you eat of that tree, you'll die. He died spiritually. For where was he? Hiding. Hiding. And a lot of people are trying to hide from God when God begins. You know, it's a wonderful thing when God begins to speak to a sinner. He breaks into their life. He destroys all their pride. That crown of pride He destroys. He moves into their life. And they are miserable. Weren't you for a little while? They were miserable. Until they saw the Savior and what He had done for them. And then they began to rejoice. He shows you that you're a sinner. He shows you that you're a debtor. He shows you that you're ruined by the fall. You'll be rejoicing in Jesus Christ as well. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We'll show something, just a little something about that fall. In Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, we have the recording of the fall of Lucifer. that angel of morning, that angel of light. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in my heart, and notice this, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And wasn't that the temptation of Adam and Eve? Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You'll be like God. You can make your own decisions. You can live your own life. You can do your own thing. You can be your own God. But God will not be robbed of His glory. He is sovereign God. He is God, and besides Him, there is no other. The will was tainted by sin, corrupted by sin, a better word, and always inclined to do evil. Every time you read about the will in the Scriptures, for instance, in John chapter 8, ye are of your father, Jesus Christ said when He was talking to the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. In John chapter 5, He is talking to a similar group of people when He said, ye will not come to Me, ye will not believe. David said it this way, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm an alien by birth and a sinner by choice, and the reason being concerning the justice of God, it demands that I be sentenced to life in prison because I have broken those laws. I've broken God's law. And even if I've only broken one, I'm guilty of the whole thing. You see, He said, our Lord spoke Himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 34. I will by no means clear the guilty.
That's right.
Here's that rich young ruler that comes to Jesus Christ. Good Master, what must I do to be saved? Well, it's not the doing of any person. It's what was done by Jesus Christ. But what must I do? And the Lord went through some of the commandments. Well, I've kept all those from my youth up. Mark said, when he recorded this, one thing thou lackest. Just one part of the law he was guilty. One thing thou lackest. Matthew said it this way, if thou wilt be perfect. I deserve to be imprisoned. I deserve to, for want of better words, rot there until I pay the uttermost farthing, until I pay the very last mite, until all that is due is paid. You see, Paul said, the sentence of death is upon me. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Christ and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God... I'm glad it's there. Yeah. But God, there's something different. Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. If you look on down to verse 12, you'll see a fivefold indictment against us. He's talking to the Gentiles. That's you and me, unless there's a Jew in here. He's talking to the Gentiles in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, as strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, we're without excuse. We're without excuse. No hope. I'm a debtor. Nothing I can do about it. How can one pay anything if he's in that kind of a debtor's prison? I asked a little girl that one day, and she said, well, somebody has to pay it for him. You know what? That's true. That's true. Somebody has to pay it for them. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He paid the debt that I owed. He paid a debt that he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone. And that someone is Jesus Christ. I couldn't do it myself. There was no way. In me dwelleth no good thing. Now that debt must be paid in full, to the uttermost farthing, to the very last mite. All that is due, it has to be paid in full, or I'm still in prison. And Jesus Christ paid in full. He paid for the whole thing. Whether it's 750 talents of silver, 10,000 talents of silver, whatever it was, he paid the debt. He paid the debt. Someone. He had to be a near kinsman. He had to come and take on our human nature. Not sinful nature, but our human nature. Therefore, he was born of a woman. Virgin born. He must be willing to pay. And he willingly came for the debtor. He must be able to pay. And my goodness, the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth of every mine, the little ones sing. He owns it all. And he can pay it. He's able to. And he did. And as our pastor has been saying for the last few weeks, after he paid everything, he hasn't lost anything. Now I want you to note that he did not pay the debt of everyone in that prison. There was only one we talked about. There was only one written about. Somebody goes to the prison and says, I'm gonna pardon somebody at prison. He looks over all the prison. He pardons one, maybe two. Our governors and our president has that power when they go into office. He pardons maybe one or two, but he doesn't pardon them all, and nobody says a word about that. But you talk about election that God chose his own people out of all these imprisoned, indebted people of the world, and they raise their voice against us.
Yeah.
He chose to pay the debt of that one. As a matter of fact, our Lord said that he came to preach to those who were in prison. I'm glad he did, because that's where I was. I was indebted, in prison. I had a life sentence against me, a death sentence against me. And that's why I need sovereign, free grace. Only God could accomplish this. If he would. If I didn't know that the Lord had shown me mercy and called me by his grace, I would be begging mercy every day for salvation. I still beg for mercy.
Yes, sir.
I still beg for mercy. Now, God may want to show me mercy. Then again, he may not. He's sovereign. He's made the choice. The Lord Jesus Christ paid that debt in full. Turn with me to Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33, look at verse 24. Then he, God, is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. You know what a ransom is? I looked it up in the dictionary, and here's the words I found. The nature of a ransom is such that, when paid and accepted, it automatically frees the person for whom it was intended. He is freed from any obligation. Jesus Christ, our ransom. He's freed us from any obligation. Our sins have been paid for. When he became sin for us and hung on that tree, God plunged the sword of justice into our Savior's heart and destroyed. He became sin and God's wrath was on him. He bore those sins. And when he got through, as a matter of fact, God turned the light out while he was doing that. And when he got through, he said, it's finished. It's done. No wonder Paul can say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus said of himself while here on earth, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. You see, the ransom price, the redemption price, was his own blood. And here we are. We owe to the uttermost farthing, to the very last mite, to all that is due. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. I want to see this in light of that. You know these words. Hebrews chapter 7. And verse 25. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. There it is. Uttermost farthing I owed, he saves to the uttermost. He paid to the uttermost. The very last mite, he paid to the very last mite to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He paid. He pardoned. He purged. He put away all of our sin. He paid it to the uttermost. He cried, "It is finished." Paid in full. The word that our Lord used on the cross is a word that businessmen used. When you made a loan through them, you paid back the loan. Or you bought something from them on time, you paid it back in time. And when it was all paid for, they used the same word our Lord used on the cross. It is finished. Paid in full. If you allow me to say it, the Greek word is tetelectai.
Yes.
Stamped it right on there and says, paid in full. When you get that deed paid for, doesn't that give you a sweet feeling? You get that car paid for and you don't have to buy another one right away. Doesn't that give you a sweet feeling? Because paid in full, you don't have to pay another sin on it. Our Lord, when he died on the cross, he paid for all sin and he paid it in full. And there's nothing else to be done. The world says, "Well, I got to do something." God says, "Done. All done. What else can you do? If it's all paid for, and not only all paid for, but listen to this. That prodigal son came back to his father, and the father took him in, and what did the first thing he did? Put a new coat on him. A new coat. The Lord not only paid for all of our sin, but he gave us his righteousness.
Yeah.
For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He put a new robe on us. And when God looks at us now, he sees us sinless and he sees us righteous. No wonder he'll say one day, "Enter in, thou faithful servant. Thou been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." And he saves to the uttermost. No wonder we can say that he is a just God and a Savior. And he's our Redeemer. The payment price was his blood with his death on the cross. And you know what it does? According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it yields forgiveness. That's what I need. Forgiveness. He carried his blood to the Holy of Holies and obtained eternal redemption for us. He, our substitute, there on the cross and in life, he, our substitute, satisfied the Father's justice. When the law comes to us, it can't find anything wrong with us anymore. When I look inside myself, I see something differently, don't you? I see all these problems I have, these sins I have. But when God looks at me, all he sees is someone just like his son. That's what he sees. He looks at me and he sees the Son of God just like his own, just like his dearly beloved. Because he bore the sins on the tree. He atoned for us. He propitiated for us. He bore the wrath of God that I deserve. I'm no longer in debtor's prison. I'm out. Everything's been paid for. And by His grace, He pulled me out of there and placed me on the solid rock of Jesus Christ Himself. And if there was any more to pay, He'd pay it too. But He paid it all.
Yeah.
He paid it all. The Good Samaritan came by, and the lawyer and the priest came by. They didn't help that man that was robbed, left for dead. But the Good Samaritan came by, and he helped that man, took him to a place where he could be sheltered and cared for, had to leave. And so as he left, he said, "If there's anything more to pay, when I come back, I'll pay it." Paul said the same thing to Philemon in the book of Philemon. Onesimus, the slave, had run away. Probably stolen things from his master, Philemon. Paul said, now, he ran away, Onesimus, but he's coming back someone different. A brother in the Lord. And if he owes you anything, I'm going to pay it when I get there. Our Lord Jesus paid for it all. Oh Lord, show me that kind of mercy. Show me what it means that You are a just God and a Savior. He came to one, that's election. He paid to the uttermost for that one, that's limited atonement. He brought that one out, that's irresistible grace. And His payments keep that one out of prison. That's the perseverance of the saints. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. That's our Savior. He is a just God and a Savior. Thank You, our Heavenly Father, for Your word this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You are a just God and a Savior. And thank You, Lord, for those that You called out of prison. You paid their debt and made them one with You. Oh, Father, we don't deserve it. Thank You for Your mercy, Your love, and Your grace. Amen. Let's dismiss with song number 126, Jesus Paid It All. Let's stand.